Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Award-winning author, renowned speaker, PhD therapist, and mood adjuster extraordinaire, welcome to the Sandy Brewer Show.
Hi, and welcome to the Sandy Brewer Show. I'm Dr. Sandy Brewer, and I'm so delighted to be here with you today and every Thursday, live from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the truly innovative Transformation Talk Radio Network and the fabulous Stereo WBLQ 1230 Westerly, Rhode Island. They're in their new facility, so congratulations, guys. When you have a chance, visit me at my website, sandybrewer.com. While you're there, sign up for my inspirational thought for the week. It's easy, it's free, it's uplifting, it's a good thing. In the 35-plus years that I've been a speaker and a counselor in private practice, I've had the great privilege of using my skills and intuitive insights to help people get to the heart of what is happening in their lives. Here at the Sandy Brewer Show, it's all about you. So I'd love to put those insights to work for you today. Our mics are always open as we get to the heart of what matters in your life. No question or subject is off limits. Give me a call. 800-930-2819. Or you can go to transformationtalkradio.com and ask a question in the instant feedback box. And because life is about giving and receiving, we have a gift for you today. The first two callers or emails with an on-air question will receive an autographed copy of my book, Pursuit of Light. It's a compelling and inspirational memoir that's filled with empowering personal tools that can help change your life today. Pursuit of Light was an Amazon.com bestseller, and it's won three literary awards, including the USA Best Book Award. And it's our thank you today for giving us a call, 800-930-2819. With me on air today, as always, is my partner in all things truly wonderful, my husband, the amazing John Brewer.
That must be me. Hi,
that
Sandy.
Would be you, babe. Hi, honey.
I got a joke from a friend of ours in San Antonio. Ann said us this. He said, did you hear about the couple who divorced about religion? He thought he was God, and she didn't.
I can relate to her.
A nice way to start the show today.
it's a very nice way to start the day today. And oddly enough, one of the things we're talking about today is anger. We wanted to touch on the subject of anger and how when we what we need to do when the light we're seeing leans toward red, when it's just not working and we're getting caught up in that emotion, that what are our choices? What are our options? There's an extraordinary a quote that I've always loved from Socrates, which says the secret of change is to focus all of your energy not on fighting the old, but on building the new. And with anger, that's a really important part of it, that most of the time, anger, while it may be initially triggered by something in the now, there's usually a cross-reference to something from the past. So the fact that we get angry isn't the issue. What we do about it is, and letting go of old wounds and old sensitivities and building on the new is absolutely essential. So, John, one of the first things I think we need to remember when we're leaning toward red and can't see the green light, just the red light, is to stretch ourselves to get beyond our immediate reaction and try to keep things in perspective. In other words, We have to quit majoring in minors.
The driver is really going to have to slow down. And that's what that red light is all about. And we have the option of running that red light and getting into deeper problems, or slowing things down and moving from there.
I mean, I think just the subject of like red light, green light, one of the things that so many people, all of us probably at one time or another, including me, have been, quote, guilty, unquote, of, is impatience just physically driving a car and getting so impatient with the person in front of us. They're going too slow, yada, yada, yada. And instead of us taking a breath and putting it in context, we'll either pass perhaps erratically, get upset, verbalize things I cannot say on the radio, all of those things we're tempted to do because we're forgetting to remember that in the light of all eternity, this isn't a big deal.
And it's ironic, at least for me, when I realize that I get upset for somebody doing something else, when I stop for a moment and think, have I ever done that? You bet I have. And did another person get upset with me about that? They probably did, but I didn't know about it. So as I get angry with somebody else for what they do, it doesn't affect them at all. It just affects me and how I respond to it.
Exactly. We're back to the physician heal thyself bit, aren't we, on this one?
Indeed we are.
You know, that place, honey, of putting things in perspective and, like you said, slowing down, trying to remember, take a breath. Whatever it is I'm criticizing is probably a mirror to a place I've been more than once, and have that greater sense of well-being within ourselves changes the way we're going to deal with the situation. Yesterday I had a serious situation in my office, which frequently happens because a lot of my personal professional time is spent counseling. One of my clients, as she sat across from me, tears were falling out from underneath her eyes as she told me about a really beloved woman in her life who only 7 short weeks ago was, without having any previous symptoms, was diagnosed with inoperable brain cancer. And this beloved woman of my client's died yesterday morning. And it's not like I'm not telling this story so we can only all go, oh my God, you know, but the place of understanding that every day, even on a difficult day, that we look for what can we pull out of it that's positive, that we cherish the breath that's in our body, we cherish every day the time that we have, and it's not that we're going to feel totally on top of the world every day. That's really not how it works in these wonderful things called bodies, but that even if we're having an off day, we look for the good. We try to find that greater truth and remind ourselves to keep our frustrations and our challenges in context. Let's really work toward drawing the best out of each situation.
That's essential. Otherwise, we just get so derailed and things get such snafu'd that it's difficult to pull out of it.
It's those snafus that get us, right? You know, John, both of us watched a little film clip this week that was sent to us of Patrick Stewart. And in this video clip, he was responding to a question. He had apparently done a lecture and was open to questions from the audience. And a woman in the audience had asked him to talk about his work with violence against women. And he started talking about what he does, not from an egoistic place, but from a sharing place, about his about working for violence against women, especially domestic violence. And he talked about how that he was connected to that because when he was a child, his home was filled with domestic violence that was caused by his father. And what Patrick said was he couldn't help his mom then, but he can can now by contributing to the whole issue, by taking, he didn't use these words now are mine, but by taking that place where he actually could have just let himself get lost in anger and frustration and repeating the past, and instead he made a choice to do something proactive and positive about it. Whatever his internal journey was, he clearly moved the ball forward because he didn't repeat it. He didn't repeat the domestic violence. He went to work to try to help change it. And that's an amazing thing. And then the second part, he talked about a situation involving his father that Patrick didn't know about until actually, I think he said a year ago, which is that his father, who served in combat during World War II, actually suffered from what we now know is PTSD. So he found that he and his older brother found some old diaries that gave them that information. And because it wasn't known back in the day about PTSD, they just called it, shell shock and straighten up and do things right, which doesn't work with that kind of an illness. So his father not only had it, he wasn't treated for it, which means that he dealt with it all of his life. And was whether or not his dad had any other pre-existing psychological issues, who knows? But certainly the PTSD would have dealt deeply into his ability to manage stress and to deal with life. So the second thing that Patrick did was he moved his giving into first of all compassion and a new awareness about his father, but also the pragmatic giving that he does is he works in the name of his father for a combat stress organization. So he took a really difficult, harsh early situation, and he found a way to contribute instead of just react. He didn't budge at all at the end of his response to this lady in the audience. In his great Shakespearean voice, he boomed out strongly that violence is never a choice men should make against women, but he was willing to have compassion instead of anger, which is just such a great example. And then for all of us to look to see how can we, instead of reacting to something that was truly traumatic, respond to it with giving and with love and with support.
And we all can have an impact on that within our lives. It's not only, of course, as we know today, men against women, but it can be reversed as well. And as a response to anger that's not dealt with and released, and it acts out in such terrible ways, but we can have a positive influence by beginning with ourselves.
That we always have a choice. Stay with us because we have so much more to say on this subject. You're listening to The Sandy Brewer Show. Give us a call, 800-930-2819. We'll be right back.
I invite you to come on into the reading room and pick up a book that you'll love. It's Sandy's award-winning memoir, Pursuit of Light, An Extraordinary Journey. You'll find this book hard to put down, as Sandy shares the gripping story of her journey from childhood trauma to the empowered woman she is today. And like so many others, you'll find it to be one of the most inspirational books you've ever read. You'll love that it's filled with practical tools and ideas you can use to bring greater light and joy into your life. Get your copy by placing your order today at sandybrewer.com.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible to help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individual's setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up, that helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
As anyone who has experienced cancer knows, it's a tough journey. If you or loved ones are dealing with cancer, please give yourself the gift of learning about the leading-edge information and support programs offered by Vital Options, a nonprofit cancer communications organization that provides extensive information to support patients and families to better understand treatment options as well as other issues that impact anyone touched by cancer. We urge you to take advantage of this valuable resource by going to vitaloptions.org.
Brewer, welcome back to the Sandy Brewer Show. We're glad that you're with us. Give us a call, 800-930-2819. So far this afternoon, we've been doing a lot of talking about some of the many faces of anger and how to direct or channel it so that instead of anger working against us, we can get it to work for us.
Sandy, one of the things I love about our opening song, Don Henley, Getting to the Heart of the Matter, we feel such a connection to part of the lyric where it says, keep carrying that anger, it will eat you up inside, which is exactly what it does, because it becomes a toxin within us.
It's absolutely true, honey. We're all human, so we're all going to get angry at some time. And it's not that the anger isn't sometimes justified. So sometimes it's very justified. If somebody has really done something abhorrent to you or a loved one, it's a natural and actually situationally appropriate response. The problem is we carry it if we stay attached to it. Henley's right. It really will eat us up inside. So it's about choice. It's actually our own responsibility to choose. How do we want to direct that anger?
One of the things about your book, Sandy, that I love, there's a portion on it that says,
"Some Pursuit of Light."
Pursuit of Light. And it addresses to some degree the question I have, and that is, what is the spiritual purpose of anger and consciousness? How does it serve us? And you say in your book on page 102 exactly, still, if it's all God, then someplace in the universe, it's all good. But it ain't all fun.
Well, that's a true story.
So we talk about spiritual perspective, yeah.
When we have to look at that place where, yeah, I have a right to be angry, and for a little while, perhaps that's the healthiest thing I can do, is to create a positive outlet, not a reactive outlet, but be able to talk it out with somebody that I trust, write it out, pray it out, affirm it out, to be able to deal directly with the anger, but to understand that anger is a cover for a deep, for the most part, is a cover for a deeper emotion. And so that's the place where we always have to take it. But anger actually is not, it's like not just a bad thing. It's a friction. It's a powerful energy. And it's the friction that can drive us deeper into ourselves, into a potential for healing. What we have to do is not use anger as like this big cement block that we put on our chest like a tombstone that just weighs us down into the ground. we have to really convert that anger into a booster rocket. And like the old, this is going to tell my age, the old Buck Rogers stuff, put this booster rocket on our butt and help us zoom through the block that we're dealing with, so that when I have anger, I'm not afraid of it. But if I don't trust that I can channel it and ultimately release it, then I will either suppress it, which is a mistake, or overreact to it. Equal mistake, and we're talking mistake here, meaning something that is absolutely not in any way going to serve us. So this idea of what do I do with anger is the same whether we're talking about something really huge or something that's everyday, like the guy in front of me is just like the worst freaking driver on the planet, and I really want to get to the movie on time. This place of making a choice and keeping that the situation in context of a greater point of view. If it's the driver, the greater point of view is, you know, in the light of all eternity, 3 minutes makes no difference. If it's a really traumatic thing, and because I lived through such serious, serious traumas as a child and much, much, much younger woman, because of those things where there were really heinous things that I experienced and had to find a way to survive, that I consciously had to choose as a younger woman what I was going to do with that. Was I going to let that anger, that rage, be something that pressed me backwards into the ground like a tombstone? Or was I going to use this great energy in anger? Was I going to use the friction of that energy and the energy of that anger to hold my intention for what I want? And for me, it was healing. For me, it was a grace greater than the situation from which I came, a truth greater than the pain that I had suffered. And would I use that deep, deep energy of anger to cannonball me forward toward my intention?
Sandy, I remember in my previous relationship.
You had a previous relationship?
I know, it's hard to believe.
Sorry.
My marriage from hell. It was such a toxic relationship that it was very difficult for me. And I got to the point where my anger, I was holding it back and repressing it for so long, it finally broke out in a way that scared the heck out of me. I was shouting and I slammed a glass on a counter, damaged the counter. But I was appalled by what had happened, because I had realized at that point that I was letting anger take control of me rather than letting me be control of it and control of it. So that was a huge, huge learning thing for me that I used to my advantage and has served me well over the years. To, as far as anger is concerned, you can express it in a verbal way, in a gentle way, and just say, this is how I'm feeling, and go from there and work on a resolution, if not with another person, at least within myself. So that was my experience. It was quite an aha thing for me.
Well, I know it's not an easy story, but it's a really pivotal story for you. And just anybody who knows John knows that he's probably the most even tempered man on the planet. Not suppressed, just even tempered. But John, I have a question for you. On the example that you just gave, the experience that you had, what took you to that pivotal point? Because actually, the place that where you went all the way to the cellar, what for you was the bottom of the rung, you know, where you went to that place where you felt out of control. What was the pivotal point? What was the thing that was going on that took you to that depth of rage and frustration and feeling that blocked and helpless? What do you think that was?
Interesting. I traced that back to when I was growing up.
Good for you.
And that I felt that I never was heard. Nobody would hear anything that I said. least certainly that felt that way. And I'd had many experiences past then where it felt like I had something important to say, but nobody wanted to hear it. So that became a frustration, and it just built and built until boom.
So what I love about that, thank you, because you and I have never actually talked about this, that aspect of it. But what I love about what you said is that, yeah, the experience that you had felt like the marriage from hell, but it was actually a stairway to heaven, because that kind of friction, and I don't just mean that I was the one who followed gorgeous.
Okay.
Which was not my intent, but the stairway to heaven is an internal place, do you know, that let you play out with that toxic relationship, a place inside of you that was bottling you up, that was keeping you from being fully who you were designed to be, fully who you are, owning your strength, owning your power. You were still dealing to, it sounds to me like you were still dealing with that wound from when nobody heard you, and the isolation and the place of feeling so put down and so unempowered, so unvalued, that you kind of, and this is what we do, and this is what I'd like us all to understand here. When we have a hot spot from the past, we will recreate it in the now, not for the purpose of pain and suffering, even though, like one of the line that you quoted from the book, it ain't necessarily fun, but it's not for the purpose of pain and suffering. It's for the purpose of building the friction so much that we open the block, that the veil falls away from us, and we can see clearly what has been holding us back from the total potential and truth of who we are, and the unfoldment and fulfillment of the promise of who we are. That when we use these situations in our adult world, instead of continuing to just lay on the metaphoric horn in the car and yell and scream at other people, that we take that frustration inside and first deal with ourselves. After we deal with ourselves, we've re-anchored ourselves, we've opened the door to real possibilities, and then we can make a choice. We're in a different place. The view actually changes. Like, I think once you were brought to your knees there and were so shocked by a behavior that was not a part of your pattern, something inside of you had to shift, because you made a decision about that relationship, but then you became the next part of you. You started to become the promise of John fulfilled.
And I vowed to never ever let that happen again, and to be able to begin to address things and with in defenselessness, just to be me and enjoy that experience.
And you really, really, really are good at that part, my dear. Thank you for 30 years of that. You're listening to The Sandy Brewer Show. Stay with us, because we're going to be right back. 800-930-2819.
If you are looking for a book that will inspire you, one that will help you smooth out those bumps in the road of your life, one that will give you practical tools for meeting everyday life challenges, then you'll want to get your own copy of Sandy Brewer's award-winning memoir, Pursuit of Light. It is so compelling, you won't want to put it down. Order today and get a free gift of her audio series, 6 Steps to Mastering the Art of Healing, by placing your order today at sandybrewer.com.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible to help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individual's setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up. That helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Would you welcome an inspiring, positive, and uplifting message coming to you each week? Messages that will energize and support you as you go about your day? I do, and I hope you will too. Act today and bring a smile to your face and a lift in your step as you receive your free inspirational thought for the week. Simply ask for them by going to sandybrewer.com. Hey, and while you're there, learn more about Sandy's award-winning memoir, Pursuit of Light. Be inspired and pass it on as you get your free thought for the week at sandybrewer.com.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a
Hi, welcome back to the Sandy Brewer. I'm Dr. Sandy Brewer, and I'm so glad to be here with you today. We have a caller, and it's Rick from Orange County, California. Hi, Rick. Well, we almost had a caller.
Well, let's go ahead and talk. One of the things the callers get, by the way, is they get a free autographed book, autographed by none other than the author, Sandy. And on a recent caller to the show that got a book sent, they sent us an email. And she said she read the book in one day because she couldn't put it down. It was so entrancing for her. And she said that Sandy is the most extraordinary woman she's encountered. And the things Sandy taught her in her book have truly helped her in her life. And she so appreciated what Sandy had to say to her on the show. So it was fantastic.
Thank
her for that comment. Yeah, that's nice to know, huh?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's see if we have Rick back. Do we have Rick back?
Hello, Sandy.
Hi, Rick. I'm sorry we couldn't find you before. How are you?
I know. I'm just like one of those lost childs. What can I say?
Well, consider yourself found.
Yeah, well, that would be a blessing, trust me.
Well, let's convert it into a good thing. Tell me what's on your mind today, my dear.
First off, I wanted to make a comment on your book. I read your book, and I know we've talked about like issues like anger and some of the things like that that's kind of going on today and so forth. But I read your book, and I can't help but imagine how somebody like yourself could go through the trials and tribulations that you did in your life and not come out of it without some type of an anger. I mean, I just can't conceivably imagine that not happening. I mean, to me, most people that would go through that would just be absolutely beside themselves. I mean, and the book was really, really good, and it was extremely interesting. And I just thought how did you overcome all that stuff? Because I go down to give me an example. I went down to the pharmacy yesterday to pick up a prescription, and it was a very expensive prescription. And every time I go down there, they mess it up. They mess up the price, and they try to charge me two. And it's a major, major pharmaceutical chain, you know, for mm-hmm. a pharmacy store. And they always majorly just totally screw up the price on it. And I got to sit there and argue and fight with them and pull hair and teeth and everything else. And finally, after 5, 10, 15 minutes, every time I see them, to get this done. And I get angry at them. And I just go, like, what the hell are you guys doing? You know, and it's just, it's things like that that drives me nuts. But, you know, when I stop and think about your book, it's hilarious. It's absolutely minuscule. But still, it's that process that takes place in me that I don't particularly care for. And mm-hmm. I need to, you know, try to rein myself back and say, you know what, it's not the biggest issue in the world. I'm sure that there are worse things. And I'm sure things could, you know, could go a lot worse for a lot of people out there other than myself. But still, I would appreciate maybe your thoughts on how I could kind of rein this in a little bit.
Yeah. Let me comment in both parts of your question. When you asked about my life and anger and what it was all about, it isn't that I didn't ever have anger, because of course I did, but it was that I had so much pain that what I wanted more than anything was not to be in that level of pain, and that pain lasted far longer than the physical abuse, but just the residual pain of that was overwhelming and made it hard for me to function. But I also had a place, and I think we all have this in us. I know we all have this in us. It's just a matter of finding our way to this spot where we care about something more than we care about our anger. And it wasn't that I cared about the pain more, but there was a place that I talk about in the book, and I don't know if I've mentioned it on the show yet or not, but it was the last time I ever had a physical fight, and I was 8 years old. And it was with, I called my cousin in the book, Billy the Bully, because he was just such a mouth. And he was a big kid. He was a year younger, but he was bigger than I was. And he had a rough life too, but as kids, we can't measure that. So we got into this tussle, and I got him on the ground, and I was sitting on him and, you know, holding, you know, that position where you're holding their hands down and they can't move. And I looked into his eyes. And what I saw was something that was familiar to me, because I saw that agony, because he was helpless. There was nothing he could do. And I understood that because it was a place that I had been for many years, helpless and nothing I can do in the situation, and a physical presence bigger than me taking over. So when I saw that look in my cousin Billy's eyes, I literally, as an 8-year-old, got up, let him go, got up and walked away, and never again had a physical fight with somebody, because there was something inside of me that started the process of, I do not want to do to others what was done to me. There's got to be something more. And it sounds weird to think that an 8-year-old would know that. But as an 8-year-old, I just knew that I did not want to be the inflictor of pain. And through especially my earlier years, in my healing and unconsciousness, did I accidentally inflict some pain on others? I sure did. Did I ever abuse anybody? Absolutely not. It began with that place of either conscious or unconscious choice. And then what I wanted to know was not how to be like my parents, but how to be something that they were not. So when I was 18, I remember this very clearly, all these decades later, that I consciously vowed that I would not repeat it, that I would not do to other people what was done to me. And it really started that pathway of the next 12, 13, 14 years of consciously working with little interruption on myself, on trying to understand not what, you know, somebody else was doing, but what my reaction was, because I was so committed inside to not being like them, that there had to be something greater about me, better about me, truer about me. And I think to this day, that concept of what do I really want to know? I want to know love. I want to know peace. I want to know serenity. I want to unfold that part of me. I am so much more than the original cause of the anger. And that if I have every right to be filled with rage toward my parents. And the truth is, I am not. I do not care. I wish them well. As spiritual beings, they're past now. But, you know, let it be between them and their spirit to find their greatest and highest good. However much remedial ed they have to go through on another plane is fine with me. I'm not in it. It's between them and their spirit. What's between me and my spirit is what counts. And so those are the big things. So if today I go to the pharmacy and the pharmacy is doing their number, I need to take that extra breath and really start to connect with whatever's going on here. However stupid I may think and their system is, and it probably is, by the way, however dysfunctional I think their stupid is, system is, and however annoying I think their system is, I am not threatened. And if you look to see what's underneath anger, you're going to find almost always there's a subtle form of threat going on, that it's going to remember the brain always cross-references. And so if any part of your life there was somebody who was irrational with anger, if there was somebody there was any violence in the home, if there was just somebody who controlled, if there was a bully around at whatever level, that's a threat. So when you come against something that you can't move, you start to, the brain cross-references into almost like a danger Will Robinson danger, and we start to react as though we're being threatened instead of simply annoyed. And so that also makes us really lousy communicators. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yes, I absolutely get it.
But it's just
frustrating. And I always thought that anger was kind of a mask for fear. But
it is. That's the threat. That's, you know.
So you cross. I didn't get that two terminology. I cross reference that as fear. But hell, I'm not afraid of the dumbass pharmacy.
No, you're not afraid of the pharmacist, but you are afraid of the threat of not being able to get someone. You know, John talked earlier, I don't know if you could hear it, about an experience that he had when he kind of lost it, but it was about that he wasn't being heard. So if there's any place in your early script about not being heard and suffering for not being heard and being diminished and put down because you weren't, then if you're in a situation now that's by frequency, that the brain can cross-reference and say, you know, basically close enough for government work. We're going to go to that old story and set that up neurologically, and you start to feel fear, which really means you start to feel threatened by the energy that you're feeling, by that fact that they can't hear you, that they're not listening, and you feel threatened by that, then that's going to cross-reference to I'm not safe, which is going to make you defensive, which is going to make you a really bad communicator. Hey, Rick, we have to take a quick break. Can you stay with us so we can follow this through just a little bit further?
Absolutely. Please.
Perfect. You're listening to the Sandy Brewer Show. Thanks for staying with us. Come back. Rick has a lot more thoughts to share with us, and I have a lot more thoughts to share too. So we will be right back.
If you are looking for a book that will inspire you, one that will help you smooth out those bumps in the road of your life, one that will give you practical tools for meeting everyday life challenges, then you'll want to get your own copy of Sandy Brewer's award-winning memoir, Pursuit of Light. It is so compelling, you won't want to put it down. Order today and get a free gift of her audio series, 6 Steps to Mastering the Art of Healing, by placing your order today at sandybrewer.com.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible to help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
And they hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks. Powerful, inspiring. They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up. That helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Having trouble keeping up with the accelerated, life-altering changes occurring on the planet? The Quantum Vortex is the brainchild of Meg Benedicte, a pioneer in quantum healing and energetic activations. Weaving together ancient spiritual knowledge, quantum physics, and vibrational healing, Meg Benedicte is accelerating change at the cellular level. For more details on private sessions, meditation CDs, downloads, and teleseminars, visit NewEarthCentral.com.
Hi, and welcome back to the Sandy Brewer Show. We're so glad to be with you today. And we have Rick on the line, and we've been discussing anger and how it creeps up in our world and takes over almost everything. So, Rick, one of the things we were talking about is that, you know, like your example was so good about, because it's everyday stuff that takes us down, about your frustration with the pharmacy. It's a lot of money. It's a big prescription. They tend to mess it up every time. And then you get frustrated and that anger starts to boil inside of you. Right so far?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay.
Exactly.
So I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you, honey.
I'm sorry. Exactly. Yeah. No, it's exactly how you said it was. That's what
I got the story straight, huh?
Yes. Yes, you did. But can I ask another question?
Yeah, of course you can.
And I was thinking about this during the break because it's something that you said, and this is a little bit of a personal thing, but I kind of wanted to share it and see what you had. You made a statement about, you know, sometimes that when you were a child you got abused, you know, physically, and that
not sometimes, all the time, honey. But go ahead.
Well, I kind of had that same experience. I was very physically abused as a child, and probably consequently, I never had any children. Probably because of that, maybe because of the fact that I was afraid that that could be a trait or something. You know, this is when we're
right.
That would be a trait that would get passed on, or I would follow in those footsteps, like so many people do with like people that smoke and drink and drugs and things like that. You know, when those things are, when we see our peers and parents and other people doing those things, does the things like the physical abuse and things like that, are those like the same traits that kind of get, you know, passed down and passed along and so forth?
But it doesn't mean they have to be. I really have great compassion for what you're saying, that because of what you experienced and the violence that you experienced, that you were afraid that that could come through you, that it kept you away from having children. And it doesn't mean you should or shouldn't have children, but I have compassion just for having to go through that thought process. So it does the pattern get repeated? The answer to that is actually yes, unless, and here's the big, big good news. Unless we consciously do an intervention with ourselves. And unfortunately, statistically, we know that many people do not do that. And so they will use their abuse that they had, which is awful and traumatic and heinous and all those difficult, terrible things, but they'll collapse into it and therefore technically use it as an excuse for repeating bad behavior instead of knowing that no matter where I've been, it doesn't give me the right. I do not have the right to do that to anybody else. The fact that it was done to me, I have to be responsible for what I do with that. And that's just the biggest thing. You cannot do that, though, if you don't really get to, you know how strongly on this program, we stress the concept of getting to the heart of the matter. If you don't get to the heart of the wound that you're still carrying, and remember when a child experiences abuse or violence of any kind, what the child does is wrap identity around it. There's no 3-year-old who actually thinks a 30-year-old is screwed up. And then we get to be 30 and go, not so much. There's a lot missing here still. But the 3-year-old thinks that the 30-year-old knows what they're doing. So a 30-year-old can be filled with rage, can be screaming and yelling and bullying and hitting and whatever else. And the 3-year-old takes it on as identity. There must be something wrong with me. And so what we always have to do is then be able to go inside, never ever to have to change what happened, which is really the good news, because we cannot change what happened. What we do have to change, though, honey, is the conclusion that we drew about ourselves as a result of what happened. So what I understood through my own journey is that I can either focus on what kind of I can't use the language I would normally use. What kind of stinky butts my parents were. I can either focus on how awful they were, or I can focus on what I choose to do about it. What do I choose to do with what I am left with? And that's the courage of the journey. But it also opens the door to the healing that lets us in one lifetime experience the such extreme darkness and unfold ourselves into the light. It's why it's so essential, especially if we've had a challenging background, but at any time, it's why it's so important for us to be able to say at the druggist, at the driver in front of us, at whatever, that, you know what, take a breath, because I am not just the product of where I came from. I am a man, you a man named Rick, I am a woman named Sandy, and I get to choose who I am and how I am in my world. I am not responsible for what they did. I am not responsible for what happened to me, but I am responsible for choosing love over the trauma, over the fear, over the terror. And it is not easy. It is one of the, John quoted a statement from my book that said, it's basically all spirit, but it ain't all fun. It is not easy. It takes courage and it takes will. And what I know from my life and what I can, and the reason that I speak of it so passionately is never just to bring up an old story or a difficult story or a dark story, but that if you will choose you, if you will choose love, if you will choose to pause and take a breath, if you will choose to remember something greater than the frustration in any given moment, it unfolds us into the promise of all that we truly are. And that place where we went through trauma, instead of staying a negative, unfolds us ultimately into the wisdom of something so much greater, and we get to express that with love, that with compassion, and that with a truth so much greater than our experience, because that's at our core who we are. We practice it every day in every way, and we watch our corner of the world change. Rick, I'm so grateful to you for calling today and for sharing so openly with us. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you. Have a great day, Rick.
Thank you so much. Thanks. I appreciate your wisdom and your advice. Thank you.
Thanks, my dear.
Thanks for calling us, Rick, and thanks for your emails that we've received. We're so glad that you all have joined in the conversation today on the Sandy Brewer Show. And we're here to take your questions for Sandy to get to the heart of what matters in your life. Know that our phone lines are always open and no subject is off limits, so we invite you to turn on and tune in to listen and call in with your questions or email them to sandy@sandybrewershow.com. The show airs every Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific, 4 to 5 Eastern on the web at Transformation Talk Radio and Stereo 1230 AM WBLQ in Westerly, Rhode Island. You can also listen to past shows by going to archives at sandybrewershow.com. We invite you to get inspired not only by getting the thought for the week, but also getting up a copy of Sandy's powerful memoir, Pursuit of Light, An Extraordinary Journey. You'll be glad you did. And a special thanks to our fantastic engineer, Brian, today. Thanks, Brian. And may you all have a fantastic week.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one.
Transformation Talk Radio.
Transformation Talk Radio. A higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody. We'll see you there.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.